animals less healthy than you can't nourish you.
Are you surviving or are you thriving?
Are you too busy to live?
Do you have grain brain?
That was brain.
Fight for your life. Get your prescription for health today.
Is Mother Nature too good to be
true?
It's
not you, it's the food. It's a no-grainer.
Oh, that isn't happening to us.
It's already happening to you, woman. Join our army of Minas.
Keep the government off our farms.
Make it happen today.
Save the bacon.
Save the bacon. It's time to drop some atomic mom bombs.
It's not me. It's you. Invest in your life.
Yay! Her name is Neethi. Go save the bacon, mommy.
Hey friends, it's Neethi the pharmacist, and today I'm back here in the studio with Tammy Perdue with Sweet Peas Urban Gardens, and we are on fire. We're going to talk to you today about food justice and equality and fairness and how farm workers are being disrespected. And we're actually going to just jump right into this, right, Tammy?
Yes, we are.
Okay, Tammy, go.
So recently I was listening to a group of farm workers in New York State who were picketing because they were trying to educate everybody in New York about the conditions that they work under. One of the people in the march was interviewed by NPR, and she was asked about what the conditions at the farm that she works at. And she happens to work on a farm that raises ducks. And she divulged... She didn't say if they were, I would imagine, she had 300 ducks to take care of, so I'm thinking it's bigger than Julie's. Mm-hmm. So she was on call 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, without a vacation. She'd been doing this for 7 years, and it was, there was no way that the person who worked for her, who she worked for, was going to give her time off. Tried to negotiate it, said no, but it was legal for that person to do that. So it started to really wear on me, this issue, and I started to investigate a little bit more about it. And being a farmer and being concerned about the people who work for me having a decent wage, a, you know, something
fair and equal.
That's right.
And so just.
And they can live off of and eat.
Livable wage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I started to understand the entire story, or tried to understand better. So in 1932, when the minimum wage for the country was imposed, there was a deal made to exempt farm workers.
And this is, again, post-World War II. When we started centralizing everything, thank you, John D. Rockefeller.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, it was right at the time, right before World War II, when Roosevelt was trying to make these deals for human, our American workers, but farm workers got completely cut out of the picture. So they don't have the same protections. They don't have a guaranteed time off. They don't have guaranteed hours. They have to work whatever they sign up for at the farm. So this country has taken that, industrial food is taking that.
So it's not just illegal people.
That's right. That's exactly right. This person was born in New York.
And so, and if they didn't work there, then.
Yeah, she sounded to be about my age and said that her lack of education was has led her down this path. She did like to be outside and work with animals. So she was, you know, this.
It was going to bring her some joy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, I'm not going to keep going down that road, but I just want people to understand that there's no reason why people shouldn't be able to just do whatever work it is that they can find. Mm-hmm. And if it brings them joy, but why do they have to be abused either way?
Mm-hmm. Truly, truly.
I mean, we need people to do the hardcore labor. Nobody wants all the immigrants coming here to do the work that Americans supposedly don't want to do. But why wouldn't anybody want to do it? I mean, you have to think about these, this conversation that we're having today, the food justice, equality, and fairness conversation. I want you to tell me who is going to work 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and they don't own the business.
That's right.
and they don't get to call out sick. I mean, anybody who's running their own operation, they know they basically can't call out either.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, true.
Do you get a day off?
No.
All right. I didn't mean to interrupt what you were saying about that.
So the big thought is because of that loophole, industrial food took advantage of that loophole and has farm workers who are not treated the same as any other worker in this country.
Industrialized, and so, centralized, mm-hmm. what we keep going back to, I'm calling it centralization mm-hmm. of food.
Mm-hmm. And so it gave all of this world, I mean, because we have a global food economy, the idea that food is cheap. Mm-hmm. And so when people actually raise food correctly and then try to sell it, they get pushback a lot about how much it costs. I was at an event yesterday, and the guy next to me was selling gluten-free desserts. And mm-hmm. At this event, this is a big deal.
Everybody is this the Veg Fest?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, am I not allowed to say that?
No, you're fine. There's always 6 or 7 dessert makers at a Veg Fest.
At a Veg Fest, because mm-hmm. there's not vegetables there.
And I'm usually the only vegetable. In fact, I was again yesterday.
Wow.
But
there's other stuff, right? Like leather replacements and anything, mm-hmm. but not
anything for animals.
Yes.
All kinds of animal things. All kinds of, you know.
Yeah, stuff for mm-hmm. them to mm-hmm. be spoiled, mm-hmm. but not mm-hmm. any vegetables. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Except for me. So this person, I heard him telling a customer that ours are so much cheaper. And I was like,
wow.
You know, where are you getting that almond flour that's making that gluten-free thing from a farm worker who's being taken
abused.
Advantage of?
Someone mm-hmm. who's being abused. And by the way, everybody, you know, everyone knows who's listening to this podcast, I'm anti-wheat because it's a drug and, you know, people are addicted to it and they can't get off of it because it's like crack. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we also consume our fair share of almond flour, mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. Although people, what they don't know is that we will bake more often with vegetables mm-hmm. than mm-hmm. we will with nut flours, mm-hmm. you know, because really you're not supposed to consume that many nuts. So mm-hmm. all this nut milk and everything, it's like so bad for you. Mm-hmm. People have no idea what's going on with that, but it's because they don't know how to fix the animal problem mm-hmm. and they don't know how to not have cereal.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
let's just be mm-hmm. honest. That's what mm-hmm. this is about. Mm-hmm. So, but going back to you're disrespecting the farm workers, the illusion that food is cheap, the fact that people think that cereal mm-hmm. is cheap, mm-hmm. isn't that the biggest joke?
Oh, it is. Mm-hmm.
Who's growing mm-hmm. those grains? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Recently, I heard a person who's trying to bring back heritage grains in the mountains of North Carolina speak. She's at a community college, and she was talking about how the grain, once it's milled correctly, grown correctly, mm-hmm. organically, and not with any pesticides or herbicides.
$50 a pound.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I have been saying that, too. And people look at me like I'm nuts. I'm like, if your wheat flour or whatever it is that you think that you're buying that you think is going to actually give you life-giving force, meaning like you can actually have a child that won't have any problems, you know, people are not realizing today that these children that are born with 100 gazillion problems, it's not normal. This ain't normal, folks. I'm stealing Joel Salatin's words. But you know, it's not normal, and people don't know any better because this generation has no idea mm-hmm. that that was not normal, mm-hmm. that it's not normal to have blood in your stools. Mm-hmm. It's not normal to just be gassy all the time. Mm-hmm. It's not normal to not, you know, really have sex all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, sorry, but mm-hmm. that's the mm-hmm. truth. This mm-hmm. is called hormonal dysfunction. If you're not able to understand what I'm saying, then start Googling it. Mm-hmm. Yep, it's all sure. over the internet. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. And so if your grains are being grown, providing justice, equality, and fairness for the labor. Mm-hmm. So anyone who has their own business out there or anyone who understands business or has taken a business class or just take one online, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But you have to understand that there is some person, not a robot, in charge of growing something, and then they have to harvest it. I want everyone today to Google how is grain harvested. Mm-hmm. And like, they'll show you the video of the person who harvests their one cup of grain. Mm-hmm. Guess how many cups of grain you need to make bread
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
True.
You know, and so if you see what it takes to harvest it, and then that's not even fermented. Mm-hmm. It's not even pre-digested 10 times or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if everyone out there who's listening to the podcast right now would take a moment, you guys are Googling and watching all kinds of stuff all the time. Look it up and see what it is, what's involved in, you know, just doing that, because you would realize at that moment that your 50 cent a pound, whatever grain item that you get, is not justly paying the farm person. It isn't creating equality or fairness for them. And so this is a human rights issue.
For sure.
Everyone thinks that what I'm talking about is just about poison. No, it's not. How are you standing up for minimum wage and screaming at the top of your lungs about, you know, we need minimum wage, we need, you know, employee welfare, whatever it is, and you need to have however many days off and all this stuff, and you need respect, and I don't know, whatever else these people require. But you want cheap food. Are you kidding me?
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. I think it's hard to keep hearing that and still choosing cheap food. So
mm-hmm. It's not about whether or not you want to be a bodybuilder mm-hmm. or, you know, that, I mean, okay, fine. You want to go drinking every weekend and you just don't care about what happens to your body. That's fine. How is that fair to the person? I mean, if you're going to do that, then pay for whatever it costs to do that. What is the actual cost? I mean, let's be fair.
We don't know in this country. We don't know the actual cost because of all of these things that have led to people believing that food is a commodity that is really cheap, that you can really do cheaply.
And so on that note, with these topics that we're talking about, I think it's amazing that people will fight to death and argue to death animal welfare, including your little Veggie Fest people, okay? They will argue to death about animal welfare. What about human welfare? Mm-hmm. What about the farmers' welfare? Why do they not care about people? Mm-hmm. They only care about the animals?
Mm-hmm. I think, as you and I were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, I think that connection hasn't been fully made. And I think that there are people. I spoke with somebody yesterday who was about 80 years old, and he had become a vegan in the last 10 years. But he was doing it in protest to industrial food. I mean, right. And that was his way of doing it.
Which is a political move. Mm-hmm, being mm-hmm. vegan is a political mm-hmm. move. And so, you know, how about instead just finding regenerative farms and supporting them? And if the only regenerative farms you can find are vegetarian, great. Because, you know, again, we're never telling any of you how to eat. This is not about, you know, us promoting. Neethi the pharmacist is not promoting a food lifestyle in the sense that you're supposed to be vegetarian or not or whatever. You know, everyone's body does better on different fuel. I'm saying that the fuel has to be real and not a chemistry project and not violating the human rights of anybody to find its way to your table. Because how dare you? How dare you violate all of these human mm-hmm. beings mm-hmm. in an effort to demand cheap food? Who do you think you are?
Truly. Truly.
I can't understand. Like, yep. You know, and to me, the vegans are almost, at this point, they don't know how the vegan movement started. And it has been, like, bastardized so much that it's just about walking around with your big dog and buying them a new leash and not buying leather. That's not what this movement's about, people. Mm-hmm. I mean, that isn't what the vegan movement was about originally.
That's right.
It was for people to, like, protest the industrialization and the centralization of animal production. Mm-hmm. And so animal welfare means that you know, let me tell you something, everybody. If you don't eat meat, then is your solution to kill off all the livestock on the planet? Because guess what? That's murdering all of them unnecessarily. They're here for a reason. And if you can't figure out that they're here for you to eat them, I cannot help you. But I will also tell you that without those animals, you can't have regenerative living soil, which would give you the produce to be a vegetarian or whatever else you want to be. We come from the soil and there's a cycle, and everybody doesn't have to be eating all the livestock. Also, they don't have to be eating it every day. Mm-hmm. They also need to eat it completely. Mm-hmm. Because if you consume the entire animal, meaning you use the bones to make broth, you're consuming the liver for the medicinal purposes of that, and you're eating the entire animal over a long period of time, like, we eat meat, but we don't eat a lot of meat. And not because I'm trying to cut back on my meat, because I don't do that. It's because our meat is so nutrient dense, I don't need to eat a lot of it to become satiated. And so therefore, I'm naturally going to just eat less meat. But my steers, the beef that we eat is so heavy on grass. It's heavier on grass than one bite of that beef is heavier on grass than a wheatgrass shot. Did you know?
Yeah.
But then we also do wheatgrass on top of that. Because we need so much green. And Tammy knows, we eat more vegetables than vegetarians do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. You eat better quality vegetables, which are more nutrient dense than...
And more volume. Mm-hmm. And you...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, okay, mm-hmm. So Tammy's vegetarian or pescatarian?
Pescatarian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you know, we've had these conversations. She feels more comfortable on that. And honestly, I eat more produce than... maybe my husband does, mm-hmm. you know, because he's going to want a little bit something else. Everybody's unique blueprint is different. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe all you need is a little bit of broth. Maybe you need to be vegetarian mostly and just have some eggs mm-hmm. or use some, you know, butter to cook in mm-hmm. or whatever.
That's what I do.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So anyway, let's not forget the lack of protection for the farm workers. So when you're purchasing from your local CSAs or local farmers that you can put your eyes on, then you know that those farms are protecting their mm-hmm. employees or their workers, mm-hmm. especially if you take yourself out to their farm.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And mm-hmm. put your eyes on their farm. You'll be able to see abuse happening in front mm-hmm. of you, right? Mm-hmm. And again, people will be fighting over child labor. I'm sorry, but we have children working on our farms. And guess what? It's good for them. And they're not being abused. And they're learning how to have some basic skills mm-hmm. for life.
There are no smarter folks on the planet figuring out how to get things done that I have met than farmers.
And their kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or really anybody in the movement that's trying to support all of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's get back to minimum wage. How do you want us to pay somebody? Okay, let's just take a produce box and dissect it for a moment, right? Mm-hmm. So one half bushel box of produce, I would say, and I'm just guessing here, it depends on what kind of produce is in there, but let's say it's a mix of squash and roots and greens, mm-hmm. for example. If you take that half bushel box, and let's say that it the cost of it is $12 to produce. Mm-hmm. Then you have to get it somewhere. First of all, when I say the cost to produce it, that put it in the box. Mm-hmm. Like they got it out. That doesn't cover the cost of the box. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much a produce box costs.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how much a wax box costs? Like, I don't know. Let's just say a dollar.
Yeah, I'd say a dollar is probably what they're selling for.
Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it's not. And we reuse the wax boxes all the time. So mm-hmm. it's not like it's a one and done thing. So a dollar a season. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. fair to say, mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
So we'll say a dollar. So now it's $13. Mm-hmm. Then we had to put gas mm-hmm. in a truck mm-hmm. with a laborer mm-hmm. who's going to have to carry it to somewhere. And then that person who they carry it to will have had to market and insure a bunch of people.
For sure.
And what were you talking about from California to North Carolina?
So my first accounting position out of accounting school at NC State was working for a firm that did the truck taxes for trucks that actually made the route, independent truckers who made the route from California to North Carolina with produce. So I did every state's fuel tax. We purchased their permit. So every state had a quarterly requirement of the driver mm-hmm. to pay taxes mm-hmm. in that state for the fuel or the highway use that they had in that state.
So listeners, mm-hmm. when you cross state lines with any type of agriculture, meat or produce, then you pay a tax to do that. You pay extra at the processor if it's meat to have a different inspection done to cross state lines. And I think for produce, there's a different inspection if it's going outside of the state as well. I'm not really sure about produce as much as I am.
So each state has their own rules. So each state has a different rule about what has to be, you know, sometimes they have to be weighed, sometimes they don't. So every state has their own rules. So.
Mm-hmm. And if you're driving through the state, then you have to, you know, like there's some, pretend like there's a little old guy sitting there and you have to go through his little gate. And you got to pay the troll before you go everywhere. And I know that people just don't believe this because, you know, they don't do that. They just drive. But there is actually a cost for something to cross state lines, whatever the food is. Every state line that it crosses, it costs more money.
For sure. Saw that. And even at that point, I was thinking, how in the world are strawberries $1.99 from California?
Right.
Ever?
So, like, let's have an example of the taxes.
I can't remember the percentages, but each of the decals. So each state requires you to post on your truck that you are registered with that state, and that means that they've got you in their system to get the taxes done. So the decals alone, some of them were $100, some of them were. You know, 20.
For the year or the month?
The
or
year.
What?
You had to do it every year. But you had to pay quarterly taxes. And it was, they all varied tremendously. Some states were really cheap and some states weren't. It was the way for them to, you know, 18-wheelers are very expensive and they cause damage on highways. So it was a way to recoup and rebuild the highway system. But wait a minute. Why are we doing any of that with food?
I mean, because I just can't know what to do if I can't have iceberg lettuce all the time. I mean, what in the world? You know, let's go back to, I mean, there's another episode, you guys, where I'm talking about the benefit of eating within your light cycle. So listen to that episode when I'm discussing eating within your light cycle. Okay. Anyway.
Well, I mean, all of this is just another aspect of why the industrial food system doesn't work, is failing. In fact, I think I mentioned this to you a couple weeks ago. I was just Googling because I'm like, people have got to be getting this on a bigger, more people have to understand this than I'm seeing understand it. Because I sit at market a lot and I get to talk to people and people don't get it in general. You know, 10% of people walk up to me have some, they're starting to think about it. But one of the things I Googled was just food justice or the industrial food system failing or something in that range. And I ended up with a Cornell University study by two PhD kids who were predicting the failing of the industrial food system. And one of their biggest arguments was these trucks that I was talking about. It's just so unsustainable. It's the carbon footprint of doing, of moving the food across the country. Who wants to grow up and be a truck driver?
So who pays that person? I'm just saying, that's one more guy.
That's exactly right.
Right. I mean, and is that guy getting any sleep?
No.
I mean, this is another human rights violation because I know people who are truck drivers. They are in very poor health.
Yep.
They are threatening their own lives and everybody else's lives around them because they're never allowed to sleep or eat or whatever. I mean, I don't even know how they poop and pee. Okay. Let's just be really honest about all of it. I can't even handle it. Like they don't get to have, you know, proper breaks. If you were to actually drive something here from California in a reasonable way, I mean, that produce is going to be dead.
Truly.
It's not even going to be worth bringing here. And I don't care if it's on a refrigerated truck or whatever. You know, they have to gas the hell out of it or something. Like, there is a chemistry project involved in your organic produce that's coming here from the other side of the country. Why are you not just finding a farmer and using your salad spinner? I'm sick of people telling me they don't like the grit off of farm fresh salad. Buy a salad spinner. It's not a big deal.
$9.99.
Yep. I mean, instead, they're going to allow this poor trucker who he needs a job. Okay, I get it. But why is he's being treated fairly or equally? And I don't imagine he's making enough money to like risk his life And also, how do you think that poor dude's going to feel when he does actually kill somebody on the road? Do you think that that's what his intention is? He's just trying to pay the rent or whatever, like everybody.
And who thought this was ever tenable? Who thought of this? It's insane.
It's insane because you can get it within your hunting range. Mm-hmm. And really, I mean, you know, you don't have to be that old to remember a time when you couldn't cross state lines with produce. You couldn't. You were not supposed to be crossing state lines. There was a very limited, I mean, and actually for us East Coast people, we got all of our sunshine fruit or whatever from Florida, not California. And that was more reasonable and it was expensive. And that was what you found, but you would never imagine that you would ever be eating in North Carolina a California anything. Or a Washington State something or an Ecuadorian something.
I know.
What in the world?
When it's produce, it makes no sense. It makes no sense.
Okay, guys, I think we've given everybody enough to think about. What we're saying is that we're hot over here about the folks that want to stand up and preach about, you know, equal, you know, like labor laws, and they want, you know, all kinds of minimum wage, and they don't want their kids eating or working. They don't want their children working for less than X amount of money. And I mean, I hear more parents arguing about how, you know, they think our government sucks because their children can't earn X amount of dollars or whatever. And meanwhile, these are the same people who demand the cheapest food ever. I just want you to know, I want to know, how do you put your head down to sleep at night after you know this and just act like you did not just hear us say this? I don't know how you do it. Anything else you want to say? I know. I think we're sad now. So we're going to go back to our unjust, unfair,
and do our
working conditions,
our part to to educate people about why it's important they care about it.
Can you guys please make better choices? Think about these things and then try to figure out how many human lives you're violating when you're eating your
cheap food,
15 cent meal or whatever it is that you just paid for. Closing, guys, I mean, really, the big thing is that I think that there's a lot more going on in the cost of our food that I think many of us have never really thought of. And, you know, all joking aside, you know, I hope that the conversation that we had today will really help in serving you and your family and thinking, you know, about the farmers and their families and, you know, all, like, who's involved and how this is affecting them. You know, Tammy was talking about the studies that have been done regarding the collapse of the food system. I mean, you know what, folks? That's actually happening. You can see that the centralized food system, it's unsustainable. And I mean, for that matter, organic food is also unsustainable. It's unsustainable because it requires mineral inputs versus living soil. So supporting regenerative agriculture, you hear me say this over and over again, but regenerative agriculture is based on living soil that doesn't require additional amendments on a continuous basis. And that, my friends, requires livestock. So, you know, going back to, you know, multifaceted farms that have everything from plants and animals coming from the same land, that is actually what's sustainable. And that's what's going to have to happen. You know, the health industry is collapsing. All of these centralized systems that have been put into place since, you know, the 30s, post-World War II, these are all the imitation pieces that are going to collapse. Until next time, folks.
Please leave an honest review about the show on iTunes and like and share our Facebook page. You can also sign up for our newsletter. And if you like the education that we're bringing to you each week, can you please help support our 501c3 mission to reestablish the regenerative organic small family farm food system by making it happen today with a tax-deductible cash donation? You can register and make a donation at www.farm2forkmeatriot.org. Again, that's www.farmtoforkmeatriot.org. And click on the donate button. I'm Neethi, signing off. Remember, let your farmer fill your prescription. Reboot, restore, and rejoice.